भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो Yesterday we covered up to text 44 of Brahma Samhita. 44 described the relationship between Durga and Govinda, Krishna. Who is Durga? Durga is Mahamaya. Personified. And who is Mahamaya? Mahamaya is the external potency of Krishna. And that external potency is the shadow of the internal potency of Krishna. Chayeva bhuvanani bibharti durga. Chaya iva, like a shadow. This is an example. It has been described that analogy or example is just to give an idea. It is not exactly that. Just to give us an idea, some analogy is given. But the analogy is not the subject by itself. So chayeva, just like, therefore it has been described as chaya eva. The word eva is indicating like, not the shadow, but like a shadow. It's just an analogy. Like, for example, it can be said that Balaram's complexion is like milk. Now, the milk is white. The whiteness of the milk resembles to Balaram's complexion. But that doesn't mean that Balaram's complexion is milk. Is the white of the milk, is that what resembles the color of Balaram's body? So last verse, that verse was, who remembers that verse? Shrishti sthiti pralaya sadhana shakti reka chaye vajasya bhuvanani bibharti durga ichhanu rupam api jatsacha cheshtate sa Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam. So, when you place the chairs, Mataji, when you place the chair, make sure that people are sitting behind you, they cannot see, that they also can see. Put the chair behind you. Like Mataji's, you can come forward and put the chair at the end. Devotees are sensitive. Don't become insensitive like that. Just bring the chair. Don't care who is sitting there, obscuring their views. Time and time again I'm telling that Vaishnav is sensitive about others' feelings. That is a Vaishnav. So text 45 onwards we'll discuss. 45 is describing the relationship between Lord Shiva and Krishna, Govinda. Kshirang jatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat sanjayate nahi tata prithagasti heto ja sambhutam api tatha samupaiti karjad govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Kshirang, kshirang means milk. Jatha, just as. Dadhi, dadhi is, everybody knows, dahi, yogurt. Kshirang jatha dadhi, bikara vishesha yogat. With the touch of acid, milk becomes yogurt. Just as milk becomes yogurt with the touch of acid, similarly, in order to perform some very special business, Govinda, Krishna, has assumed the form of Sambhu. Tatha Sambhutam api samupaiti karjat. Samupaiti karjat. Samupaiti means accept, and karjat means for the matter of some particular business, in order to execute some very special business, ja sambhutam api. He has assumed or he has become sambhu. So that is the relationship. Milk becomes yogurt in contact with acid or yogurt. Like sometimes they put yogurt on milk to make it yogurt. So similarly, kshirang, just as milk is transformed into yogurt, similarly, Govindam, Adipurusham, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Govinda, has become Shambhu. Now, what is that special purpose, special business? The immediate consideration of special business is destruction. Brahma creates Vishnu in the form of Vishnu. He maintains, and in the form of Lord Shiva, he destroys. Tumi Sarveshwareshwaro Brajendra Kumaro. Tomaro Ichhai Vishwa Srishti Srijano Sangharo. By your wish, tomaro ichhai, by your wish, srishti, srijan, and sanghar, creation and destruction. Tomaro ichhai brahma koreno srijan, tomaro ichhai vishnu koreno palan, and tomaro ichhai shiv koreno sanghar. So it is by the will of Govinda, Krishna, that these three businesses of this material nature are going on. Creation, maintenance, and destruction. Now, out of these three, which is the most important business? Creation, maintenance, and destruction? Maintenance is the most important business. Like, for example, somebody wants to build a house. He doesn't build the house himself. He gets a contractor to build it. But after the thing is built, after the house is built, then what does he do? Then he goes into the house, he lives there, and he maintains that house. And then when the house becomes old and he has to build a new house, then what does he do? He calls the demolition department and demolishes the building. So similarly, in the affairs of this material nature, Brahma does the creation, but then Vishnu does the maintenance, because he is the proprietor. The proprietor does the maintenance. And then when it is necessary, then Lord Shiva, through Lord Shiva, he destroys. So destruction is one aspect of Lord Shiva's business. But Brahma Samhita previously also described another aspect which is very, very important. That it describes, Sambhu's identity has been described in Brahma Samhita at the previous aspect, that when Mahavishnu glances towards the material nature, that glance of Mahavishnu is Shambhu. That glance of Mahavishnu is Shambhu. Let me see if I can get that aspect. Anyway, so Niyatis, Janlinga, Joni, Shamsura, Parashutta, Pramadis. Yeah. Shaktiman Purusha Soyayan Lingarupi Maheshwaraha Tashmin Nabi Rabhu Linge Mahavishnur Jagatpati. The person embodying the material causal principle, that is, the great lord of this mundane world, Maheshwar, Shambhu, in the form of the male generating organ, is joined in his female consort, the limiting energy Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifest in him by subjective portion, in the form of his glance. The subjective portion in the form of his glance. So when Mahavishnu glances towards the material nature, then what happens? Through the glance, the living entities actually come into the material nature. The living entities are not generated in the material nature. Living entities are not the jivatmas are not born in the material nature. They come from the spiritual sky. We all came from the spiritual sky. We are not a product of this material nature. We came from there. And how did we come from there? Through the glance of Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu glanced, we came into the material nature. And when Mahavishnu will withdraw the glance, then what will happen? We'll get out of the material, go out of the material nature. Now, who is this glance? This glance is actually Lord Shiva, Shambhu. Now, let us see, Lingarupi Maheshwaram. Maheshwar, Lord Shiva, has been identified as Lingam, male generating organ. And so the living entities are coming through Lord Shiva into this material nature. That's why he has been identified as the male generating organ, because we all came to the material nature through Lord Shiva. And material nature again has been identified as the mother. We came to the womb of the mother through Lord Shiva. Tashang Brahma Mahajonir Ahang Bija Pradopita. In that vast womb of this material nature, Tashang Brahma Mahajonir, I am the seed giving father. Krishna is declaring in Bhagavad Gita. Now that seed giving father aspect of Lord Krishna or Govinda is Lord Shiva. Therefore, he is worshipped in the form of Lingam. Now we can see how the destruction, when the glance of Mahavishnu is withdrawn, then we'll again go back. And what will happen to the material nature? It'll be destroyed. That'll be the unmanifestation of the material nature. So in this way we can see that everything, every aspect of this nature, every aspect of knowledge is perfectly harmonized when we see it from this spiritual perspective. Lord Shiva is an transformation or incarnation of Mahavishnu in this way. He is a Gunavatar. Now here you are getting another very special description. The special description is that the analogy has been given, just as milk is transformed into yogurt. Similarly, Vishnu or Krishna has transformed into Lord Shiva. Now, there is no difference between milk and yogurt. Yet, there is difference. The difference is that milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. Vishnu can become Shiva, but Shiva cannot become Vishnu. So, just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, the milk. So, I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Sambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction. Then we are seeing the relationship between different incarnations and Govinda, Krishna. Deeparchireva hi dasantaram abhupetya deepayati bibrita hetu samana dharma jastadrigeva hi cha vishnu taya vibhati govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Deeparchireva hi dasantaram abhupetyam. Just as Deepa, deep or chi, the flame of a lamp, the flame of a lamp is Abhupetya is an expansion of another lamp. Like one lamp lights another lamp. And when the lamp is lit, Deepayate, when the lamp is lit, Deepayate means illuminate, it gives out the same amount of light. Bibrita hetu samana dharma has equally samana, equally powerful and similarly jastadrigeva hicha vishnutaya vibhati. The different incarnations are expansions of Vishnu or different expansions of Krishna. I worship that primeval Lord, Govindam. So, another analogy. These are all analogy. Through the analogy, the principle is being established. Just as one lamp lights various other lamps. When the lamps are lit, is there any difference in quantity of light in different lamps? No. They give out the same amount of light, same amount of heat. Yet, the first lamp is the one that lit the other lamps. So this is the relationship between Krishna and his incarnation. There is no difference. That's why this is called Amsa. Prakash. Amsa expansion, Swa Amsa and Vibhinna Amsa. He himself expands. That is Swamsa. And when his minute parts are expanded, that is Vibhinna Amsa. So that is the difference between Jiva and avatars. Jiva Tattva and Vishnu Tattva. All the incarnations are Vishnu Tattvas. In those incarnations of Vishnu Tattvas, there is no difference between Krishna and Vishnu. Krishna and incarnations. Krishna and his Swamsa expansion. There are so many incarnations. There are so many incarnations. Ram, Varaha, Nrisimha, Kurma. Innumerable incarnations. But there is no difference between Krishna and those incarnations. Nrisimhadev and Krishna, is there any difference? No. Same personality, with the same potency in him. He may not display that potency fully as Nrisimhadev, as he is doing in the form of Krishna. But the personality is the same. There is no difference between Krishna and Nrisimhadev. There is no difference between Krishna and Vamanadev. There is no difference between Krishna and Garbhodakshayi Vishnu or Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. There is no difference between Krishna and his any other incarnations. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govindam Adipurusham. Or as we discussed in the very first verse, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So here this Sarvakarana Karanam aspect is being established through these prayers. The Sarvakarana, he is the cause of even the incarnation. Sarvakarana Karanam. The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. So in the purport, it has been pointed out, the presiding deities of Haridham, that is Hari, Narayan, Vishnu, etc., the subjective portions of Krishna are being described. Okay, then we go to the next verse. Jah karanar navajale bhajatisma yoga nidram ananta jagadanda saroma kupa Adhar Shaktim Avalamba Param Samurtim Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajam. So, Ja Karanar Navajale Bhajatisma Yoga. One who, in the causal ocean, is enjoying his yoga nidra, and from whose pores of his body innumerable universes are manifesting. Jagadanda Saroma Kupa. Jagadanda means Jagadanda, means Brahmanda, means universe. Universes. Jagadanda Koti. Jagadanda Saroma Kupa. Manifesting from the pores of his bodies. And Adhara Shaktim Avalamba Parang Samurtim Govindam Adipurusham Tamahang Bhajami. Here the Ananta Shesha's identity has been described. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesha, replete with the all-accommodating potency and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, Yoganidra. And then Mahavishnu has been described. This also is describing, in a way, Mahavishnu, Karana, because he is the Karana Dakshai Vishnu. But then again, there is very little difference between Ananta Shesha and Mahavishnu. Jashaika Nishashita Kala Mathava Lamba Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Natha Vishnur Mahan Saiha Jasya Kala Vishesho Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Jagadanda Natha, Jagad under, again we are coming across this expression, Jagad under. Jagad under means Brahmanda, universe. And Jagadanda Natha, who is the controller of the Brahmandas? Lord Brahma. Now here it has been described that what is the span of Brahma's life? Jasya eka nishashita kalam athavalamba jivanti. Jivanti. Jivanti means lives. The duration of his life. What is the duration of the life of Brahma? Just one breath of Mahavishnu. Just one breath. He exhales and he inhales. Just exhalation, he gives out and gives in. That one breath. So that is the life span of Brahma. And according to our calculation, what is the duration of Brahma's lifespan? Brahma's life is 4.32 billion years. So that is the lifespan of Brahma. 4.32 billion years. So this 4.32 billion years is just one breath. Now mind you, this is the smallest Brahma. The one that we are living in, the universe that we are living, is the one of the smallest universes. There are universes much greater, and those universes, the lifespan of Brahma is also much greater. So no matter which Brahma it is, whether it's the smallest Brahma or the largest Brahma, the biggest Brahma of the biggest universe, their lifespan is just one breath of Vishnu. Loma Vilaja Jagadanda Natha. So that Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is Kala Vishesha, is the expansion of his expansion, and Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter, Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. Bhashwan jathasma shakoleshu nijeshu teja Swiyang kiyat prakatayat tapitadvadatra Brahma ja esha jagadanda vidhana karta Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Bhashwan means the illuminating sun. Jatha asma shakoleshu, in various types of precious stones. Nijeshu teja, his own brilliance. So, the brilliance of different gems, where do the brilliance actually come from? They are actually the brilliance of the sun. It is actually very interesting, even scientifically, to consider that. Like, let us see, where is the light or effulgence coming from? Fire. Where originally is coming from sun. And wherever there is the display of light, it is actually coming from the sun. Like, for example, what are the inflammable objects? The inflammable object is wood and coal. Now let us see, what is wood? What is the tree doing? Right, through photosynthesis, it's absorbing the energy of the sun. And this energy is stored in the cellulose of the cellulose are actually the cells of the trees. And they're preserved in those, that energy is preserved in there. In a latent form. Looks like a tree, but it's actually a repository of the energy of the sun. And then at certain condition, that energy comes out in the form of fire. Now let us consider, what is coal? The trees, under tremendous pressure, for a long period of time, transforms into coal. What is oil? Again, the weeds and plants, again under the long duration, under that condition, is transformed into oil, that gasoline, crude oil. Now we can see, where do you find a stone, diamond? Where do you find a diamond? Diamond is actually again a transformation of coal. So where the sun's energy has been very specially preserved, that is diamond. And the light that comes out of diamond is actually the light of the sun. In a latent form. And now the thing is, some idiots call this mythology. The Vedic scriptures, according to them, is a mythology, fairy tales. The most scientific presentation is presented by them as fairy tales or mythology. And more idiotic Indians are accepting them, and they are also saying, oh, Indian Hindu mythology. So they have such a reservoir of information, wisdom, but they just don't want to explore it. They don't want to feel proud about their heritage. They don't want to become proud of their wealth. And that is the most unfortunate state of affairs of this God-forsaken country. So here we can see Brahma Samhita written, like at the back of it says, I mean, we don't even know when the Brahma Samhita was presented. At the beginning of creation. Billions of years ago, this has been presented by Lord Brahma. And what he is saying? Bhashvan jathasma sakaleshu nijeshu teja. Just the sun displays his brilliance through the gems. Asma sakaleshu, in all the gems, the brilliance that is there, do we see the brilliance in the gems? They're so brilliant that sometimes even at night you see the light. Diamond glows even at night. It gives out his own light. Now, where did diamond get the brilliance? It got from the sun. So, this brilliance is just as the gems are displaying the brilliance of the sun. Similarly, wherever there is the greatness in a personality like Lord Brahma, Brahma ja esa jagadanda vidhana karta. The great personalities who are the controllers of the universes, their brilliance is only a reflection of his brilliance. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of mundane world, just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Suryakanta Mani. Suryakanta Mani means diamond. Okay, so now the text 50, and I will today I will end in that verse, and then we'll go into question answers. Jatpada, now the relationship between Ganesh and Govinda is being established. Jatpada pallava jugang binidhaya kumbha dande pranama samaye sa ganadhi raja vighnan bihantum alamasya jagat trayasya govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajam. Jat pada pallava jugang binidhaya kumbha, kumbha dande pranama samaye sag anadhi raja. Pranama samaye, at the time of offering obeisances. Ganadhi raja, gana adhi raja. Do we find some similarity? Gana adhi raja or gana esha, ganesha, gana pati. Ganapati, Ganesha, Ganadhiraja. So is Ganesh. What does Ganesh do? Vighnan bihantum alamasya jagat trayasya. He removes all the impediments, vighnas, of jagat trayasya, three worlds. How? Jat pada pallava jugang binidhaya kumbha dande. Holding the lotus feet, pada, his two lotus feet at his head. Actually, there are two bumps in the head of Ganesh. So those two bumps have been identified as kumbha dande. Kumbha means pot, water pot. Now, don't they look like two water pots? That those two protruding sections of head of the elephant head of Ganesh. So he is holding the lotus feet of the Lord Govindam Adi Purusham, and by doing that he has been able, he is capable of removing all the impediments from this universe, from the three worlds, meaning entire universe. A universe has got three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower. Three Bhuvan, three Jagat. So here also it has been described as Jagat Trayasya. Three Jagats or three Bhuvan, three Bhuvans, three Loka. So we see the relationship between Ganesh and Govinda, Krishna. So in this way, in Brahma Samhita, we are getting a very clear understanding of how Krishna is the cause of all causes and which is the ultimate purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. We discussed that the very first day, Bhagavat has, or Mahapuran has, 10 symptoms. And what is the last symptom? Ashrayaha. Nirodha Muktir Ashraya. This Ashraya again apparently ashram means shelter. Prabhupada analyzed that word ashraya as the samam bonam, the ultimate conclusion, ultimate personality of Godhead, is the ultimate consideration of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedeshu sarvair ahameva vidya. In all the Vedas, I alone am to be known. And that has been most perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita that in all the Vedas, He alone is to be known. And Bhagavatam is revealing His identity, who He actually is, how He is the cause of all causes, how everything, everyone is related to Him. And ultimately it comes to how we all are related to Him. That is the ultimate consideration. All this effort, all these descriptions, all these explanations are simply to bring us into that point. What is going to be our relationship with Him? Have you decided? Will you become His competitor? Or will you become His subservient? Surrender unto Him. Surrender unto Him, your life will become perfect. Don't surrender unto Him, then we'll discuss that, what happens in the next seminar. If you don't surrender and become a Ravan, who doesn't surrender to Krishna, what does he become? What does he end up being? He becomes a Ravan. And now the choice is yours, whether you'll become a Ravan or whether you'll become Hanuman. The choice is yours. And you can see the personalities. Hanuman is such a wonderful person. When Ram met Hanuman, he told Lakshman, see, he is so gentle, so sober, and his speech is so sweet, and he is so wise. So this way, the Lord Himself is describing the characteristic of His devotee. And look at Ravan, the most lusty character, the most disgusting character, the most abominable character, most disturbing character. Now, do you want to become a disturbing character or a gentle, polite, wise and composed personality? And it's all a matter of heart. When the heart is surrendered to Krishna, you develop certain quality. When your heart revolts against Krishna, you develop another quality. You revolt against Krishna, you become Ravan. You surrender unto Krishna, you become Hanuman. You revolt against Krishna, you become Duryodhan. You surrender unto Krishna, you become Arjuna. Now who do you want to be? So naturally, the intelligent choice is to surrender unto Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. So does anybody have any question? These are what? From yesterday's questions. Acha, I'll take the Hindi ones first, because yesterday some Matajis complained that my class is being translated into Hindi, but I am not accepting the questions in Hindi. Okay. Bhagavad Dham or Golok Dham mein kya antar hai? What's the difference between Bhagavad Dham and Golok Dham? The entire spiritual sky is called Bhagavad Dham. And the spiritual sky has different regions. Vaikuntha and then Vrindavan. So, Golok is that Vrindavan. And Vaikuntha and Golok together is Bhagavad Dham. Vaikuntha is also Bhagavad Dham. So, Golok is actually a special portion of Bhagavad Dham. The topmost region of the Bhagavad Dham. Golok Dham aur Bhautik Jagat ke Vrindavan ka kya antar hai? Koi antar nahi hai. What is the difference between the Vrindavan of this material nature and Golok? So my answer is there is no difference. Golok comes down to the material nature when Krishna comes. And that is home of Vrindavan or Gokul. Golok and Gokul. Moksha kya hai? Sarg moksha aur Bhagavad Dham mein kya antar hai? Kya moksha ki baad bhi janma hota hai? Moksha kya hai? Moksha ka matlab? Sorry. What is the meaning of moksha? Moksha means liberation. Freedom from the bondage of this material nature. What is the swarga moksha or Bhagavad Dham mein kya antar hai? What's the difference between liberation to the heavenly planets and liberation to the Bhagavad Dham? The liberation to heavenly planets is you acquire punya and you go up there, and when your punya is finished, you come down. But when you go back to Bhagavad Dham, being liberated from the material bondage, then you don't need to come back again. Jad gatva na nivartante stad dhama paramangvam. Kya moksh ki baad bhi janam hota hai? Does one take birth even after moksha? Yes, if Krishna wants, he can ask you to take birth again. But that birth is going to be very different. Just like Arjun, Hanuman, they're all associates of the Lord. They are all liberated souls. They're the eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual sky. But when the Lord comes to this material nature to perform his pastimes, sometimes he asks his devotees also to come. Or he may even send somebody to the material nature to deliver the fallen souls, just like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is an eternally liberated soul. That means he was in the spiritual sky. But he took birth. Apparently he took birth. That was simply in order to serve the Lord's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. It is something like sometimes the king may tell somebody to go to the prison and in order to educate the prisoners. So when he goes to the prison, it may seem that he has become a prisoner. But is he a prisoner? No, he is a free person. On the order of the king, he has gone to the prison to educate the prisoner. Now, similarly, sometimes personalities like Srila Prabhupada come here to educate us.
हमारा उद्देश्य अगर भगवत धाम जाना है तो द्वापर युग की वापसी पर हमारा जन्म भौतिक जगत में होगी जाना है तो द्वापर युग की वापसी पर हमारा जन्म भौतिक जगत में होगा अच्छा हमारा उद्देश्य अगर भगवत धाम में जाना है If our goal is to go back to Bhagavad Dham, then do we have to take birth again when the Dwapar Yug returns? ये प्रश्न है? ये प्रश्न आपका है ना? अच्छा. Yeah. So the question is that if we have to go back to Bhagavad Dham, then do we have to take birth again when Dwapar Yug returns in order to enter into Krishna's pastimes in Dwapar Yug. Hai na? Ye prashna hai tumhara. Yeah. So we have to get into Krishna's pastimes again. Well, that can be one possibility, But there is another greater possibility is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came after Dwapar Yuga in order to wide open the door of Bhagavad Dham. And you enter into Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan Yajna, Sankirtan movement, just as you have done, and you will find that the door of Vaikuntha, door of Bhagavad Dham, Golok, has become wide open for you. Not only has become wide open, one day you'll find that some of Krishna's associates has come to call you back to the spiritual sky. Okay. पूर्ण शरणागति कैसे प्राप्त कर सकते हैं? कृपया बताएं, मेरे मन में हमेशा ये प्रश्न रहती है। गोपांगना देवीदासी। तो पूर्ण शरणागति का प्राप्त करना, कैसे पूर्ण प्राप्त शरणागति प्राप्त कर सकते हैं? How can I achieve total surrender? Total sharanagati. Total surrender. Please answer me. Please tell me. Because this question is there in my mind all the time. Very good. So, ab batao, sharanagati ka matlab kya hota hai? I'm sorry. Tell me. What is the meaning of the word sharanagati? Means surrender. So, your question is, how can I fully surrender? By fully surrender. You can fully surrender by fully surrendering. Okay. Now, that may not happen overnight. Doesn't matter. You, on your part, try to surrender. And try to recognize who you are surrendering to. You are surrendering to Krishna. So become aware of Krishna's greatness. You see, who does one surrender to? To the great, the small surrenders. Small surrenders to the great. Jo bade hote hain, uske paas, uska sharan lete hain. ना क्या छोटे का शरण लेते हैं कभी? बड़ा क्या छोटे का शरण लेता है या छोटा बड़ा का शरण लेता है? तो जितना बड़ा होगा उतना शरण होगा, उतना शरणागति होगा. सो द मोर वी रिकग्नाइज हाउ ग्रेट कृष्णा इज, द मोर विल बिकम सरेंडर्ड टू हिम. और आवर डिग्री ऑफ सरेंडर विल इंक्रीज एज वी बिकम अवेयर ऑफ कृष्णाज ग्रेटनेस. So while you are trying to surrender to Krishna, also try to appreciate the greatness of Krishna. Who is Krishna? How wonderful he is, Krishna. How great he is, Krishna. What is the advantage of surrendering to Krishna? So this is how you follow the process, and you will see your degree of surrender will keep on increasing more and more. The more you hear about the glory of Krishna, the more you become surrendered to Krishna, isn't it? Thank you. So read Prabhupada's books. Read Prabhupada's books, very nice. Prabhupada ki kitabe padhte raho, tab kya hoga? Krishna ke baare mein jante jaan sakogi, aur utna hi sharanagati hoga. Bhakto ke sang karo, likh ke dena. आज नहीं कल 9 बज गए हैं. सो टुडे आई विल स्टॉप, आई विल एंड नाउ. मेड देयर फ्यू क्वेश्चंस, आई विल आंसर देम टुमारो. ओ टुडे देयर इज नो ब्रेकफास्ट, बट आई नीड टू टाइम, नीड द टाइम टू प्रिपेयर फॉर द नेक्स्ट सेमिनार. ओके, आई विल आंसर दिस थ्री क्वेश्चंस फ्रॉम यस्टरडे. व्हाट इज द डिफरेंस between Golok and Haridham? Does Krishna live in both places? I just answered this question through the Hindi question, through Hindi one. What is Shiva Tattva? What is Shakti Tattva? I answered this one. Yeah. These are answers. Okay, let me see. A diamond or gem shines only when polished. However, it shines only because the light rays that fall on it are reflected on several edges. Is it self-effulgent? This is from Krishnarchan. Some questions like that must come from Krishnarchan only. Well, the cutting of the edges actually enhances the brilliance of the gems. But ultimately, the light is actually coming from the gems itself. Like gems like diamond. Like, for example, there is a description that Krishna, when he used to go to steal butter, sometimes the house used to be dark. But due to Krishna's gems in his body, the place used to become light lit up. Then there are descriptions also when the treasure hunters, they go into hunting treasure deep down someplace which is dark. But when they open when they find the place, they find the brilliant, they're shining brilliantly. Like if you get a real diamond, good diamond, then you'll see, even in dark, you'll see the light. But of course, the cutting, polishing the edges does help to bring out, because those edges are actually enhancing the brilliance to come out even more. But sometimes some gems, they give out light like that. Like say, for example, a bulb. Does it need to cut its edges? Where does the light come from? Although it's outside, it's polished round, but the light is coming out from inside, that's why. So gems are also like light bulbs. Light bulbs are artificially being lit through electric current. But the gems that are on the head of the serpents in the lower planetary systems, they're coming out from there due to the electricity coming out from the poison. If both Krishna and his incarnations like Vishnu are eternal without any beginning, what does it mean when we say that Vishnu is an incarnation? You see, this, again, we are saying that these are analogies. There is a distinct difference between analogy and the fact, the way it is. Analogy is not itself. Like in the material nature, the concept of time is so different that where everything has a beginning and end, it is impossible to figure out how something begins in the spiritual sky without being beginning, without having any beginning. How Vishnu is an incarnation of Krishna, we will never be able to understand from this point. Right? We have to go to that concept of time, eternal concept of time, to figure that out. Why was Ganesha chosen to be described rather than other minor godheads, like other demigods, a minor demigods, like Kartikeya, etc. Because Ganesh has actually a very special position in relation to the material nature. Other are benefiting to some extent, but when it comes to success, it is Ganesh who actually awards the success just by removing the impediments. Success means no obstacles. Right? So Ganesh removes the obstacles. And we will find later on there will be description of Indra's relationship with Krishna. Will Mahavishnu ever wake up and wind up the material creation? Mahavishnu
After all, material creation is sometimes manifest, sometimes unmanifest. Material nature also is eternal. Sometimes they manifest, sometimes they unmanifest. And Mahavishnu is in relationship with the material nature. Like, there is no question of Mahavishnu's waking up. Because Mahavishnu is in Yoga Nidra. This Nidra is not Tamo Nidra. Like, it's Yoga Nidra. So he is, you see, his sleep is so wonderful that even in his sleep, he is maintaining everything. Even in his sleep, he is manifesting everything and creating everything. So this Nidra, we have to understand that in relation to material nature, Krishna is inactive. Krishna is not active. So that inactive state of Krishna is Mahavishnu's Yoga Nidra.
So, do the 14 planetary systems also come under Devi Dham? Yes. The Devi Dham has Brahmandas, and each Brahmanda has 14 planetary systems. That's from Shriyamti Rani. Varun Dev took 3 days to appear before Sri Ram. I won't answer this question because it's in relation to Ramayana. Yesterday I said, if the questions are not in relation to the class, I'm not going to answer those questions. Please explain Srimati Radharani's relationship with Lakshmi Devi. What's that? Parmali Devi Durga. Whose question is that? Name Soni. Okay. Lakshmi Devi. Iske baad kya hai? Parmali Devi kaun hai? Soni? Oh, okay. Parvati. Tum tika aur sir katne ko bhul gaya. Where is Soni? Okay. L, जब ये होता है तब वो टी बनता है ना, तो तुम्हारा ऐसे लगता है कि ये एल है. तो पार्वती देवी एंड दुर्गा देवी. अच्छा, कृष्ण का ही शक्ति है. राधा रानी इज कृष्णस लादिनी शक्ति. सो व्हेन द मैनिफेस्ट लादिनी शक्ति इज मैनिफेस्टेड इन द फॉर्म ऑफ श्रीमती राधा रानी. When Krishna expands himself into Narayan, then Radharani becomes Lakshmi Devi. When Krishna expands as Lord Shiva, then Radharani becomes Parvati. And Parvati and Durga are the same. Okay. This is from Harshirani. Who is Rudra? Since Shiva and Shambhu have been described. Rudra is the manifestation of Lord Shiva in this in this material nature. Who appeared through the eyes of Brahma, between the eyebrows of Brahma. So that is the manifestation of Lord Shiva in this material nature. Who is responsible for the destructive aspect? Rudra aspect of Shiva is the destructive aspect in the material nature. Does Lord Ganesh pray the form of Lord Nrisingadev in the incarnation of Lord Vishnu? Yes. Ganesh is actually worshipper of Nrisingadev. Therefore, Ganesh has the ability to remove the impediments because, who is Vijay? Vijay, okay. Because Nrisingadev is removing the impediments from the path of devotional service. Bhakti Bighna Vinashak is Nrisingadev. And Ganesh is Bighnan Vihantum Alamasa Jagatrayasya.
He is removing the impediments of the material nature. So he has acquired that ability by worshipping Nrisingadeva. And it is a kind of a sajujya form, sarupya form of Ganesh. Nrisingadeva has a lion's head and the body of a man. Ganesh has an elephant head and the body of a man. Narasimha and Ganesh. So do you see the similarity?
Why Lord Krishna reveals his three different forms for three different parts? What does it mean? Okay, Mahavishnu is the original cause of creation, and then he expands as Garbhodakshay Vishnu and enters in each universe. And then as Kshirodakshay Vishnu, he enters in every living entity's heart.
This is from Guru Gauranga.
When Krishna appears in his what lila? God? Oh, okay. Guna lila, guna and yuga avatar. Guna lila and yuga avatars. Okay. Guna lila and yuga avatars. Does he hide the sweet relationship that he reciprocates with his devotees in Golok?
It's not fully manifest, but still that relationship is there. Like for example, as Nrisingadev, as Lila Avatar, he has his relationship with his devotees, like Prahlad and other devotees. Similarly, another guna. See, the Lord and his devotees, that relationship is always there. But the more he manifests his personal identity, that relationship becomes more and more intense. In Vaikuntha, most of the Leelas are actually Aisharja part, awe and reverence. In that awe and reverence, there is a distance between the devotee and the Lord. But the Vrindavan, where he is the supreme loving personality of Godhead, there the intense, intimate relationship is perfectly manifest. The more distant it is from Vrindavan, the more distant will be the relationship because of the awe and reverence aspect. Like we can see that Ram Lila, in Ramchandra's Lila pastimes, he has some very intense loving relationship with his devotees, which is not present in Vaikuntha, but is present in Ayodhya. Therefore, Ayodhya is higher than Vaikuntha. Even more intimate is the relationship in Dwarka. Therefore, Dwarka is higher than Ayodhya. But Vrindavan is the highest because the loving exchange between the Lord and the devotees is the most intense and most intimate.